by two into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry nothing, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace be to this house.' And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you.' Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that very town. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethesda! For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable in the judgment for Tyre and Sidon than you. And you too, Capernaum, will be exalted to heaven, you shall be brought down to Hades. The one who hears you hears me, and the one who rejects you rejects me, and the one who rejects him who sent me." And the 72 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And he said to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my salvation. Amen. It seems my disability with my arm is directly connected to my mouth, because it doesn't know what it wants to do. This is an interesting passage, and the readings before it that really tie in together. And we could probably spend a week just looking at all the aspects of the readings. But we're going to just kind of do a high-level look at it, and then we're going to answer the famous questions that I always ask. So, who is sent out? Who did Jesus send out? He sent out the apostles and disciples. So the apostles, we're going to say there were 12 of them, 70 disciples, 82. Man, you can blanket a neighborhood easily with 82 people. But he doesn't do that. He sends them out by twos. Instead of saying, "Here, each one of you, go take this message and go." He says, "No, you two, go. And then you two, go." He does it by twos. Who or what does these people look like that he's sending out? Well, let's take a look at them. There's Peter, you know, hoof in the mouth, rapid to say things and always the wrong thing, and the Lord is quick to forgive him, but he's up there, he's making it known right away. And James and John, sons of thunder,
Oh, shall we rain down fire upon them, Lord? Come on, let us do that. No?
And
Thomas, our scientist, I got to see it to believe it. If you can't reproduce it, it's not believable. And what about the remainder? Let's just be quiet and get along and let those guys lead the pack and make fools of themselves. Let's sit back, observe, and we'll do what we're supposed to do, but we're not going to say anything. You know, that pretty much describes us. All the way from Peter to the scientist Thomas, and then the rest of the world. Let's see what they're going to do before I just, that's us. So, what do these people look like? Well, there you are. Right here in the middle of this church, that's what it looks like. That's who he sent out. Strange. What was the instructions for being sent out? Go, proclaim, preach. Proclaim that the kingdom of God is now. It's not. It's now and to come. And heal the sick. And chase out demons and raise the dead and whatever else that you're going to do. But primarily, to tell people that the kingdom of God is now. And that's the good news. It's not something down the road. It is now. And you need to live in the kingdom now. Now, what's the conduct required of these guys? Well, if you get to a house and they receive you and you've done the greeting, which is normal for that time, peace be to this house, that's a normal greeting. If they're accepted by the householder who is called the son, if it's peace, he's called the son of peace. If not, then he's the son of whatever. But if you're accepted in, go in. Now, this is the first historical document we have of the church potluck. Eat what's set before you. Yeah, that's our scripture basis for all of our potlucks. Eat what's set before you.
And if you're rejected,
that's okay. Leave. Now, this is important, guys. You offer the scripture, you offer the gospel, you offer Christ in a loving, forgiving, graceful, merciful manner, and he is rejected. It is not you that is being rejected. It is the kingdom of God that's being rejected. So when he says, go out into the street and dust off your sandals, that's from Matthew. So it's shorter than the one I was reading. Dust off your feet and leave the town because the dirt is going to be a witness against you. That's a curse. So we have blessings and curses. And we see this. Remember in the Old Testament, there's a lot of blessing and curses. A lot of blessing and curses. Well, this just continues. If you reject the Lord, let it be known that that's going to be against you. You're not going to be glossed over. So don't reject it. Now, when they return, they are excited. They're jumping up and down, right? Lord, it was so great. We healed the sick and we raised the dead and we cast out the demons ran from us because of your name. It was wonderful. But you know, there's no mention of all those who got rejected. I think that's important for us to remember. God asks. We don't need to worry about those who don't go along with him. That's their problem. I know it sounds harsh, but let's be honest. Jesus is the way, the salvation. There is no other way. You accept him, you put him in your life, you put it forward. Your life may not look like it's getting better physically, but spiritually, you can be at peace in the midst of all the chaos of the world. That's grace and mercy, folks. When they're coming at you, and you know that you've got your back against the wall, and you're wondering, what am I doing here? And yet you can be peaceful in the midst of that. You got Christ in your heart. And that's what counts. Oh, I got off on the subject. I told you, you got to watch out. Jesus has, I can't help but think Jesus has a little bit of a warped sense of humor. They're jumping up and down and saying all these things, and he's sitting back grinning. And he goes, I know, I was there. I was there when Satan took the nosedive. He hit the mat hard. And Jesus is sitting there and he says, this is all great and good. It's all great and good. But understand that the enemy cannot hurt you. Now let me clarify. Does that mean that I cannot be mortally wounded? No. Does that mean I can't be hurt? No. That I'm going to always win? And I'm not sure that means that either. What it does mean, and I'm pretty sure of this, is that your soul is eternal. And you're assured of eternal life in the kingdom of God. Now, how am I so sure of that? Well, we do that every Sunday. Every Sunday, we give thanks to God that we become part of Christ and he becomes part of us. We are inheritors of the kingdom of God. We even go through it in the liturgy and say so. And we give thanks for him. And in return, we should show mercy and grace. And still pray. Now, here's what's important. It's good to know that our names are written in heaven. Because your name, by your name, there's power. If I have your name, I have power. The old people back in the past who hesitated to give names were wise because they knew once I had your name, I had some kind of power over you because I could get your attention. And while that's important, it's important to have the knowledge that eternal life in the kingdom of God is ours. That's important. All right. Now, second part, the question. Always have the question. So what? What's in it for me? So what? You remember? I've said it before and I'll say it again. The question is probably more important than the answer because without the right question, how do you expect to get the right answer? So when somebody tells me I got the answer, I want to know what's the question. Obviously, I have a streak of sarcasm in me, and we all realize this because the bumper says I've got the answer. I didn't know what the question was. Yeah. So it's important for us to understand. Why did Jesus send them out two by two? Yeah, I mean, you could have blanketed a neighborhood a whole lot more with 82 people individually hitting the doors. But he even says don't go door to door. Why two? Well, let me illustrate that from the days when I was a commissioned salesman. Yeah, that was a long time ago. But some things never leave you. When you're training new salesmen, you put him with an experienced salesman so that he can see how the job is done. Now, you've got a trainee with you. You're showing off. I don't care what anybody says. You've got a trainee with you. You're going to show off. You're going to close that deal because you're going to do what you normally would never do. You're going to act presentation. You know, and hopefully the new guy figures out, oh, well, that was easy. I can just do the same thing. So after he has had some success with you for about two or three times, you say, okay, now it's your turn. Go. And he goes, and he gets the first one, and he gets a no. He gets to the second one, he gets a no. He gets to the third one, he gets a no. He gets a no. And pretty soon, he develops what is called in the sales world, hot doorknobs. You cannot bring yourself to grab that doorknob to open the door to that business because you have been rejected so many times. And there was no one there to encourage you, to correct you, to lift you up. You've done it all on your own. And you develop hot doorknob-itis. And you get about that far, and you go, what time is it? Oh, it's time for lunch. And you try again, and you realize that doorknob or door plate is so hot that you can't bring yourself to do it. And many, many, many new salespeople quit at that point. Boom, they're gone. Okay, so why did Jesus send us out two by two? You figure it out from my illustration. It's encouragement from the other one. You can always take an example. You can't be singularly pointed out and rejected because there's two of you. It makes a difference. Plus, the two of you can pray for each other. And if you have hot doorknobs and the other guy doesn't, the two of you can get through the door. The two of you are stronger than one. I look at marriage. You know, it takes two people to become strong as one. But it's two. And two is an important number to understand why Jesus did that. Yeah. Our strength is multiplied. Our courage is increased. Grace flows and mercy is shown. And now you can proclaim the kingdom of God. Because you got that other fool standing right next to you, and you know how that goes. It's all positive. Now, here's the other part. Those twos came back to Jesus. And they gathered as community. Worship is not an individual experience to be just totally socialized for you and not for you, and then to go. Worship is a communal experience. And from that, individuals garner strength. And that allows you to do your worship and your prayers because you're pulling strength from the community. Christians exist in community. There are circumstances in which there are lone Christians because there are forces preventing anything. Understood. But if you think you're a Christian because you want to stay home and worship the mattress and get out and play golf the next day, I got news for you. I doubt. Because what you're doing is you're seeing yourself outside of community. When you do not come to the community, you rob the community of your presence. Now you notice I said the body suffers when you don't show up, not you suffering. Because the body gathers strength from your presence. They gather encouragement. They gather excitement. They gather joy. And together we get the joyous example and celebration of the Eucharist. We are a community. and then we go out. But in community, then we are sent out and we come back. And I think when we saw what Jesus was doing and we look at that scripture, that's a high level look, because an in-depth look would take us a week at least. So we're going to say amen.